Football Friday.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Some of y'all just
really
got it. They really want it. They really deserve it. You gotta play beside a fool that don't want it, don't deserve it, they don't even love it. I promise you, it's my job to get rid of it.
Northern Colorado has a proud history, but it's decades ago. You know, to have an opportunity to maybe change the way a community sees a university, change the way a community sees a football program.
You know, we had a lot of young guys play last year, and, you know, we're not young anymore. I mean, I'm not young. My job is to score points this year, and I'm just excited to do that.
Being used to contending for the postseason, you don't take it for granted. That mindset needs to be present here.
You've got to understand, we're going to win right now, not later. Right now.
This is our understanding. I'm going to make the play, or I'm going to watch the play be made. It's simple. It's if I can tell my safety, you cover this because I'm going this time. It's a man on the man. Every time we play the game, it'll never change. It's about winning one-on-one battles. Fight through fight. It's our fight to fight.
Presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Here's your host, Brady Hall.
Thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza, it's a Football Friday, and yeah, we're getting close to actually talking about real football, but right now we're still kind of focused on the preseason side of things as the Broncos get set to take on the San Francisco 49ers tomorrow in a preseason game, second preseason game. And I'll get into more details on that a little bit later on in the show. But, man, we are just excited to get to it. This hour is going to be our football show. I mean, we are going to pack a punch this year. And it's going to be all things football. And it's, you know, we're going to lean on who those big teams are, the popular ones. Like, if CSU starts out the gate 0-3, they're probably not going to dominate this hour that much. If the Broncos start out the gate 0-3, probably not going to dominate the hour very much. We're going to go with the stories. And right now,
what if the Buffs start 0-3?
Well, that's a story.
That's a lot of story.
Okay, to be fair, we go with the story. The win-loss, you know, if Russ gets benched, that's a story. Worst case scenario for every team. Russ gets benched, season over. Buffs start season 0-4, which could very well happen. And then you start having the, you know, starting to fray at that point with the Buffs and Deion Sanders and everything. And then for CSU, worst case scenario,
defense disappears.
Defense disappears and offense is back, but you can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
And then you're 0-4 to start the season. Like, this is the time right now where everybody obviously is 0-0. There's a lot of optimism. Who's going to be the most successful football team of the ones we talk about, Angel? And throw Wyoming and Air Force in there. Who's going to be the most successful this year? And I know there are different conferences, college, pro, whatever. Just who's going to have the most success?
I think Air Force.
I think they're picked to finish second in the Mountain West. Is that right? Mm-hmm. That's the safe bet, is that it's Air Force. Okay, those two are the Air Force and Wyoming, unfortunately, are kind of the extras that we've thrown into the pot because we got enough people bitching at us that we didn't talk about those teams. But take them out. Who's the most successful team of the four?
It's either the Broncos or CSU.
I think
it's like by a game.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
They're both right at about,
I think you're right,
six, maybe seven.
But 6 wins for the Rams would be a bowl season. 6 wins for the Broncos misses the playoffs. So
it's
then
an
you
improvement, though.
By one game? Would they win 5 last year?
Buffs fans will tell you anything over one game is good.
I don't know about the Buffs, man. I just don't. I don't know if it's going to happen. All right, let's talk about Colorado State then. I was just watching Jesse Kurtz with the Mountain West Network putting together their top 5 wide receivers. Tight ends on the brain, man. Thinking about Greg Dulcich tomorrow. Top 5 wide receivers in the Mountain West Conference. You got, you know, Eric Brooks from Fresno State, Terrell Vaughn from Utah State, Ricky White from UNLV, Justin Lockhart from San Jose State, and Angel, guess who number one is? The number one wide receiver, at least today, in the Mountain West Conference.
Torrey Horton.
Here's a who. Yep. That guy is... That's a special football player right there. I think he is going to do some amazing things, and he's going to have a better season than last year, even because they're going to have more weapons. It's going to take some of the attention away from him, and he's going to be able to get... I mean, they're going to go deep to this guy. That's the plan. Is Clay and Torrey are going to hit a lot of deep connections down the field, and I am so excited about that. Jay Norvell's pumped about this team. Last year at this time, he talked about he didn't know who his team was. He was just struggling to get guys on the roster. There was turnover. There was injuries. Everything. This year, though, he talked to us a little bit about it on Wednesday during the media days, just about having more wisdom, more experience. So he's really pumped with the playing time and the playing time that these guys have seen. Feels a lot better about his roster. Here's Jay Norvell.
We have veteran players that have played in tough games, and that helps us. I mean, I think that's something to note. I mean, we got transfer kids, but Kobe Johnson's played a lot of college football. He's not a new player to competitive situations. Dallin Hoker's played a lot of Division I football. Our offensive line, the four new starters, they all played over 600 snaps last year. So they're not new to playing consistent, hard-nosed football. And so that gives me a lot of encouragement as a coach that we have guys that have been through the fire that are getting chemistry together, and I think that'll translate into more consistent play for us offensively.
Talks a lot about Kobe Johnson, doesn't he? Kobe Johnson's name was brought up a lot in the press conference with Jay, in the conversations with the players. And I think a lot of people are high on this guy. When he played for North Dakota State, he had some great years. 2019, he ran for 660 yards. He had four touchdowns. 2020, he ran, short season. Ran for 270 yards and two touchdowns. 2021, 671, three touchdowns. And then 2022, almost 1,000. 965 yards and nine touchdowns. So and he can catch too. Look at the receiving numbers too. That's a big thing to look at. He had, I think 10 was the most in one season. The reason I say it's a big thing to look at is that going to be something where they try to utilize him as a receiver a little bit more in this Fort Wade style of offense? Because that was not obviously what North Dakota State did. But that's not what Avery Morrow would catch the ball to the backfield, and it just looked like a run. But they would do a lot of those little short passes and screen passes and, him going out into the flats and things like that. So Kobe Johnson is, I think he's going to be a big-time playmaker for this team. And you're adding on. I'm looking at the roster right now. And just an idea, who are some of those players that you're going to expect big things from? And you need like six or seven guys, that are going to be like household names. I think, obviously, defensively, Chiggy, Muhammad Kamara, Henry Blackburn, Jack Howell, who we talked to yesterday with Rams Weekly. Like, those guys are all really good players. On the offensive side of the ball, you're saying it's Torrey Horton guaranteed. That's who is that stud. The rest are unknowns at this point. We don't know if Clay Millen's got that it factor. We just don't know. His completion percentage was amazing, broke record. But there were short passes, and he wasn't able to take his full drop backs and throw deep and do all that stuff because of the offensive line situation. So hopefully they get that fixed, and we get to really see what Clay's all about. Dallin Holker's another name. That guy I'm really high on. Tight end, 6'5", 235 pounds. Is he a star? Now, I'm watching practice, or I watched the scrimmage on Wednesday, They're definitely putting him in a lot of situations where he's going over the middle. So, and, you know, I think, no, I don't know if you have that one. Jay Norvell talked about Dallin Holker. I don't know if I gave you the right one. I might have mistitled that. But he was, you know, I asked him, said, hey, how do you see him fitting in Fort Arrowhead? I mean, he's high on this guy, too. That's another name that he brings up a lot. Having a guy that can block, but also go over the middle, come up with those big plays. And that's going to open up stuff for Torrey Horton. So that's why I think, man, I'm trying not to get too high on this team. But I feel like, the big question is that offensive line going to be able to protect Clay, give him the time to really fight? Because he's got a cannon. He can absolutely rip this thing. But the question, again, is the offensive line. And who's going to be that other offensive player to step up, be a big playmaker alongside Torrey Horton? Justice Ross Simmons? It's a name we've talked about a few times. How about the other tight end? I mean, they've got two guys that they're really excited to see and how they'll perform. But they got another, you know, tight end that they think is going to be a good football player too. So I think it's going to be a big year for CSU, and a big year in a sense where, okay, you made the improve from three wins to bowl season. But maybe better. I want to go there, dude. I want to go there so bad and say CSU is going to shock a lot of people, and they're going to be right there in the thick of it at the end of the season to play for or to win the Mountain West Conference Championship. Because they're changing how they do things now in the Mountain West, aren't they, Angel? They're not doing a championship game. They're just doing the top two teams are playing. They're not doing top teams from. They're doing away with Mountain West divisions. And I like that. So you just finish in that top two. There you go. I don't think that's where they'll be, though. Like I said, I'd love to feel that confident about this team, but you still have question marks surrounding CSU. Is Clay as good as we were saying he is? Last year was a rough year for him. So can he be special? That's the question you're asking. All right, when we coming back, we're going to catch up with Brian Howell of Buff Zone. We'll switch gears and talk some Colorado Buffaloes next. It's Football Friday, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Cephalu Fowl, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into Football Friday, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline is Brian Howell, our Buffs insider with Buff Zone and the Boulder Daily Camera. Brian, my man, it's the last couple weeks or so. It just seems like primetime's getting more and more in the news with some of the things he's saying. And we talk about the fight that happened and his thoughts on team culture and things like that. So certainly newsworthy every time primetime steps to a microphone.
Yeah, I think we need the season to start.
Yeah, conference realignment, drama, practice. I'm with you. It was entertaining for a while. I'm ready to watch football.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, some of that stuff, you know, I think most things he does are going to get, you know, blown up and they'll be newsworthy. But, you know, that little scuffle in practice was probably pretty common around football practices these days and for years. But, you know, whatever he does is going to get in the news. But I know I'm at the point where it's been 9 months or so of talking about this. I'm ready to see some football games and see the team actually play.
I want to see what it's all about. I mean, they are the most discussed football team. Heck, man, they might be giving the Broncos a run for their money. I know Denver media, that's tough, but there's a lot of talk around this Colorado Buffaloes team and primetime and their move to the Big 12, all that stuff. But I do want to get your thoughts at least on some of the statements. When he said, what was it, Brian? He said something like, you know, I don't care about team culture. I don't care if they like each other. At the end of the day, they just got to work together and we got to win. Now, he did kind of, at the end of that sentence, he said, no, they don't have that problem. Everybody does like each other. But what are your thoughts on what he said there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, basically what he's saying is, hey, know your playbook and let's play some football and win. And I think that's their main objective. And, you know, he made the point, he's been on teams that the quarterback and receiver hate each other, but they made some beautiful music on Sundays. So, you know, I think to his point, nobody, you don't have to have everybody like each other, but just be on the same page and go out and play football and win. And I think that's kind of their main goal there. And the other part of his point is, that's what I've seen it too, that this team seems to be very close. They seem to really like each other and get along. So it doesn't appear that there's any sort of issue there.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone. And Brian, talk to us about this team a little bit. I mean, we hear the big names. We've talked about primetime. We talked about Travis Hunter, Shadur, certainly big time names that we expect some awesome things from this season. But what is this team going to be? Like, I know CSU is going to be four air raid. I know Wyoming is going to run the ball. What's going to be that structure for CU? Is it going to be a lot of what we saw, you know, at Jackson State?
Yeah, I think some of it. It's definitely a different offense from Jackson State because Sean Lewis is running a different system. It's going to be more of what you see at Kent State, you know, because that's what he ran there. It's going to be very up-tempo. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but over the last several years when Sean Lewis was the head coach there, Kent State was one of the fastest offenses in the country in terms of plays per, you know, time of possession minute or whatever it was, you know. So they run a ton of plays, and they want to run the ball, but they're also going to throw it a lot. And so it's going to be very fast. I mean, probably not a lot of huddling, and it's going to be get on the ball, get going, let's go.
That'll be interesting to see. I mean, just high-flying kind of deal there. How is primetime doing these days with his health? You know, obviously everybody's talking about just how things are going to go this year, next year, for the foreseeable future. But does it seem like he's doing a bit better these days, Brian?
Yeah, I think so. I think he got a cast off of his foot just recently, last week, I think. And he's still got, it appears to be like a walking boot on there. And he's still going to, you know, to try to limit the pressure on that, you know, go around in a cart and a Segway and things like that. But his goal is to actually jog out with the team a little bit, you know, on September 2nd when they play at TCU. And so he has told the team he's trending towards that, and that's still his goal. So, and the other goal is to get through an entire game with minimal pain. And, you know, the second half of games last year were excruciating for him. He could barely feel his legs or his leg by the end of it. So it sounds like he's getting better, and that this season, you know, should be a little more pain-free than last year.
Yeah, well, we're hoping for the best on that side of it, obviously. Brian, last week when we had you on, we talked about the tweet, we talked about the press conference, we played some of that clip and everything. Are you guys good then officially? I mean, I know you said that at the end, he said that, but how have things been this week? Are you guys on the same page now here, Brian?
I don't know. We don't see him a whole lot. I mean, I haven't seen him since then, and you know, we don't talk to him a whole lot, and you know, he's driven by us in his cart a couple times, but we haven't talked to him, so I assume we're okay. He hasn't you know, replied back to or anything like that, so you know, I think we're okay.
How is primetime? Like, what kind of guy is he? I mean, what I see, Brian, is the stuff that you guys are posting, and I see the stuff from his NFL days and his NFL media days and everything. What kind of guy is primetime?
Well, when you take away primetime, you know, the limited time I've spent with Dion, very low-key, down-to-earth type of guy. You know, he's a country guy. You know, he loves fishing. He loves being, you know, he has some ponds on his property in Texas, and he loves going out there and fishing and you know, drives a truck instead of a sports car, things like that. And so very kind of low-key, you know, down-to-earth type of guy. But then there's primetime, and that's the part that everybody sees. And, you know, he's a very confident, probably the most confident person I've ever met in my life is Deion Sanders. And you can see why. I mean, with the way he's played and the way he's coached so far in his coaching career, and that's where I think it's hard to read this team, is that if they take that confidence and any measure of that confidence, that could produce a win or two that we're not expecting. And so That's what's interesting about him, I think.
Yeah, and he's fascinating. I mean, I admire so much about the persona that he created because he knew what he was. I think I saw an interview with him years ago, Brian, where maybe it wasn't even that long ago, where he had talked about back when he, you know, in the 90s, when he created that primetime persona. The idea was that it was going to be a character larger than life that he'd be able to utilize well past his playing days. Well, it worked out for him. It worked out for him in the media world. And now it's working in this day and age of recruiting and transfer portal stuff because he is so powerful. He does have such a strong personality that I do think in that confidence that attracts really good football players to want to come play for you.
Yeah. And it attracts a ton of fans too, you know, and I think that there's a lot of players that, they want to get to the NFL, and if you can play for a guy like that, they can tell you how to get there, and he's got that confidence. And if he believes in you, then you know you've got a shot. At least you feel like you got a shot. And so I think that his personality is infectious in a lot of ways, and that's why he's bringing in some good talent.
Brian Howell joining us from Buff Zone, and we'll see what happens with TCU. I mean, we're getting closer to that, Brian. When do you start busting into that and being able to kind of give us more of an assessment? TCU, I expect them to be good, but they are replacing a lot of their studs from last year. Quarterbacks, some good wide receivers, some linemen. So I suppose if there's a time to try to upset TCU, it would be week one.
Yeah, they do have a ton of people they're replacing, but They hit the transfer portal hard and got some really good players. And they have the same quarterback that started against CU last year.
Yeah.
And hurt and didn't do that great. But he's their quarterback now. They're going to be pretty good. I mean, I think that's still a team that could contend for the Big 12 title. And so that's a tall task for CU to go down there. But I haven't looked fully into TCU, but I do know that they've still got some really good running backs. They got some really good receivers. They loaded up on some skill positions in the transfer portal and on defense as well. They were weak on defense last year. I don't think they're going to be as weak this year. So they'll be a lot of fun to watch, I think.
Brian, are you prepared if I go through the schedule with you to tell me if it's a win or a loss for CU, or do we need to go another week?
I would go another week, and even then I'm not sure I could do it. What I've always said about this team is that you know, I think they'll win somewhere between 3 and 6 games, but don't ask me which games.
Yeah.
Because I just think that this team, there's a lot of games on the schedule I look at and say, yeah, they could win that one, but I'm not going to sit there and say they will, you know, because I think a lot of it depends on how good is Shadur, how good is this offensive line. I think there's potential for 6, even 7 wins, but don't ask me to pin down which ones they are because I don't know. A lot of it just depends on, I mean, there's so many things it depends on, right?
I'm with you 100% because my brain will start going, you know, I'm buying it. I'm buying prime time here. I'm buying all this stuff and Travis Hunter and Shadur. And then I go, maybe 5 or 6, bowl season. Then I start looking at the schedule and I have a hard time. And it's tough because, again, you just expect certain teams to be good. And does Oregon State take a step down? I mean, they're ranked now coming in. How good are they going to be? So I'm having a hard time finding it. How about just one then, Brian, the Nebraska game? I keep saying it's a flip of the coin. What do you think?
Yeah, I do think it's a flip of the coin. I think Nebraska is going to be better. I give the edge to Colorado, though, just because I think the atmosphere is going to be so electric that day that this team is going to feed off of it. And I think they're going to be coming off of a loss against TCU, and I think that they're going to want to, you know, show out well for their fans in front of a rival. So I think they get that victory, and I think they win the next one as well. I know you got a lot of CSU fans listening, but I think CU starts 2-1 after they lose in TCU and then get those next two. And then get to the Pac-12, I think it's tough to predict from there.
Yeah, because right after that, it's a buzzsaw, Oregon and USC. So going to be a battle for sure. Brian, my man, what are you working on that we can check out from you at Buff Zone?
Lots of stuff. And we talked to, you know, the O-line coach and a couple of linemen today, so we're going to have some things on that. And then you know, just lots more camp coverage as we go through the next 2 weeks and fly out to Dallas 2 weeks from today. So,
looking forward to that. I can't wait, man. I can't wait. And we'll keep up to speed with you all season long. Appreciate your time as always and what you do in all of your Buffs coverage, my friend.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon.
Brian Howell, Buff Zone. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Brett McMurphy has been making the rounds covering all the conferences and just asking some fun questions. He's been asking all the coaches what their favorite band is or favorite musical artist is. Okay. He interviewed or he asked all the coaches in the Pac-12, Pac-4, whatever it is, Pac-12 now. Can you take a guess as to who Deion Sanders' favorite musical artist is, Angel? Or did you already see it? Did you already see it? You already saw it. He's the only one I've seen that's done this. He would not answer. Yeah, come on, prime time. He could very well be, you know, hip-hop guy, or he could very well be a country music guy. Or he could very well be both. I could see both. Primetime's probably a hip-hop guy. Deion's probably country music, playing his country tunes while he's fishing.
So who's the coach?
Primetime. Except for one-on-one, it's Deion.
I don't like that.
That he's got a persona? He's the only coach.
No, you can have a persona, but to the point where
it's so obvious.
Prime will say one thing and Deion will say something else.
I don't know if it's like that, but I've never seen anything like it from a head coach.
I take this would not answer as Primetime's not going to answer because Deion actually wants to give an honest answer, but that honest answer won't fit with Prime's persona, so he won't say anything.
Well, that's a good point.
It's like Deion really likes country music, as we just learned, but he won't actually say that because if Prime came out and said he likes country music, he'd be like, wait, what? That's weird. That doesn't match.
I bet his favorite artist is himself.
Probably.
Have you ever heard his song? You should find it.
No,
I'm good. It's actually not bad. I'm good. It's called Must Be the Money. I like it. Let's play it. See if you can dig it up. It's not bad. Angel just hates primetime.
Just giving them like
Tanner hates Sean Payton.
Loving them for the love of being who they are. Like I don't know Prime. I didn't watch Prime play football.
Oh, you missed out.
I barely watched him when he was on TV. So I see this new coach coming in thinking he's the talk of the town, and I don't know.
He's one of the best corners to ever do it.
I mean, like, you know, he's the new sheriff in the saloon and he walks out and he slips on a banana peel. Like
I don't know. I don't know. I like it. Tanner says, I love Sean still. Don't slander me. Oh, it's not what you said in 11.
Well, it's interesting how that dynamic has switched between you. Because Tanner was all Sean at the start, and now he's starting to get a little hesitant. You were a little hesitant at the start, and now you're like, no, he's great.
No, did you listen to my take today? You were the one saying you didn't have a problem with the Adams interviews and all that stuff.
You're reacting to that differently than what Tanner is, but it's different from what your original thoughts were.
I'm not saying it's fine. I said there's red flags. I got red flags. But can you go win football games? Because if you can, I don't care. And it seems like Russell Wilson might be better. I don't know. But
how can you be better without eating mac and cheese?
I don't know. But my stance on Sean Payton has not changed. He's the Bounty Gate guy. He quit on his team. He retired when his team salary cap was in complete disarray. He left. Those things are all still true. I think he is cocky and about himself. I think he is media hungry. And I don't think he is an anonymous donor. But I'm just saying, it is what it is now. You traded your first round pick. You've got your talent. And we'll see if it works. I'm bummed that Tim Patrick is not going to be on this team. I think that's a big hit for the Denver Broncos. But I'm not sitting here saying all that's forgiven and forgotten. It's just, I do know the facts. The facts are he knows football. He can coach football. I don't like the anonymous donor thing, and then now he's always talking into the media. So I don't know that I've switched. I think Tanner switched. Tanner switches. He's a switcher. He says, I'm not hesitant just because I don't like one thing he did doesn't mean I'm not still very excited about him. You tell me. You tell me, Angel. Is Tanner excited about him, or is he just, is this his prime persona here?
I think he's excited.
I think he is. He's obsessed with Sean Payton, to be honest. I just asked him if he hated him, because I'm joking with him, but I think he's obsessed with him, actually. I think Sean Payton, other than maybe one thing, can do no wrong in Tanner's eyes. You know, because Bounty Gate was just fine. You know, let's let guys go out and hit people and break their legs, and Sean knows about it and then tried to cover it up and lie about it. But yeah, what Nathaniel Hackett did was the worst coaching job ever.
For something, he's motivating his team, trying to get a message to the locker room.
About?
About anything.
Yeah.
Anything Sean says, it's a message to the locker room.
I think it's actually going to work out. Are they a playoff team? I don't know. Tanner's yelling through text now, Angel.
What do you say?
I just said he did wrong, but I'm still excited about him.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
That's how you feel.
I guess so. No, I think he's obsessed with Sean Payton. I think there's only one thing he did wrong, and that was wear a bucket hat. And that's honestly more about Tanner hating bucket hats, to be honest.
What's wrong with bucket hats? Is it like, okay, a bucket hat or like a flat brim, like Gilligan's type of hat?
I like those hats. Difference. I like those hats.
Bucket hats are very, they're like the smaller ones.
Bucket hats are dumb. I don't like bucket hats. I don't like those. That doesn't work. The
Gilligan's hat with like a little string on it so you can hold around your neck, like. Those are fine.
The big rimmed ones, mm-hmm. They protect you from the sun, Angel. Yeah. Bucket hats just...
Those are fishing hats.
Yeah, those are good hats. Those are Gavin's signature.
I think Sean needs to figure out what hat he's really discriminating against.
That's true, because what he was wearing wasn't really...
Gilligan's hat.
Was that a bucket hat that he had on?
I wouldn't call it a bucket hat, no.
No.
What are those hats called?
I don't know. Bucket hats are dumb. I don't like them.
I like bucket hats.
I hate bucket hats.
Buckets.
Don't like it. I do like buckets, though. 40 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out, and we'll get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
.143 the time. It's Football Friday, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Denver Broncos, San Francisco 49ers going at it tomorrow in a preseason affair, second preseason game for the Broncos. They'll play at 6:30 tomorrow. Javonte Williams will play. He is going to get reportedly 10 to 12 snaps. While the rest of the offense, starting offense, is supposed to go 20 to 24 snaps. Is that too much? Too many? Too many?
Are those numbers accurate? He told me numbers last week. Mm-hmm. They played over that.
I think if they do the same thing, if they kind of dwindle and he wants to see more out of him, I think Sean Payton has proven that he is not going to stick to his own script. And I'm okay with that. I was okay seeing the touchdown. I needed... Angel, my old basketball coach, said when basketball practice is over... And you're doing shoot around. You never quit on a missed basket. You always have to make that final basket. So you can't quit until you make one more basket. And I think that was the Broncos getting the touchdown. Was you wanted to make sure that, okay, this team is going to feel good about themselves before they are done for the night. So I like that side of it. Now, what are we going to see with this team? I don't know that it's going to... They're not going to open up the offense necessarily any more than they did last week. It's just going to be trying to block a little bit better. Arizona blitzed the hell out of Denver last week. Russell Wilson was the most pressured quarterback last weekend. Jarrett Stidham was third. And Arizona, they feel good about themselves. They won a preseason game, and they were... taunting about it, and they were blitzing like crazy. But this offensive line's got to show me a few things. I mean, I'm interested in that. I also want to see if Russ and Cortland Sutton can keep building on their chemistry. They might have something there. I think Jerry Judy's going to be the big play guy. Cortland Sutton's going to be the consistent guy. And then the tight end battle. Very curious about that one. And I think that Greg Dulcich's name we thought was going to just be the shoe-in for the starter, but Adam Trautman is slowly but surely earning that role. Seems to make a little more sense with Sean because maybe his blocking skills are just a little bit better. So I'm curious about that position. Marvin Mims Jr. is going to play tomorrow as well. And that's a guy you're hoping really can take a leap as a rookie. Because if he can, you know, maybe you don't – the hurt – of losing Tim Patrick, you don't feel that as much. So kind of the big storylines here, how does that offensive line look? I mean, they were pushed around last week by Arizona. You know, can Russ Is Russ going to move at all? Is he just going to stay in the pocket? Do you want to try to see some of those experiments with him moving around some of those plays? I doubt it. You don't want him to get hurt. How does Javonte Williams look in an actual game? Getting tackled by an actual opponent? That'll be interesting, too. Defensive side of the ball? Eh. I don't have a lot of questions around the I mean, I want to see Randy Gregory. I want to keep seeing more of him. You know, he said, I loved what he had to say the other day. He's like, I got to start doing my part of the deal for the contract. He said, I got to earn that paycheck. Because, yeah, you know, he missed a lot of games last season for Denver. Denver's minus -4, Angel. What do you got?
I think with the Niners still trying to figure out their quarterback position, I think you'll see a little bit more offense from them just because they want to be trying, they're going to try more things. We'll see if the Broncos can keep that momentum going, just kind of act as if this first drive is the next drive after that touchdown drive. How do you just keep that momentum going? Can the defense make any plays?
Yeah.
Like fumbles.
Well, they got an interception last week, so can they do that?
Yeah. Big time plays.
For San Francisco, they're still trying to figure out. Is it Purdy?
I think Purdy is leading, but I still think they're seeing if anyone else can take that job from him.
And that's, you know, that's their big question for San Francisco is who is that guy? Who is that quarterback going to be? Is it going to be Purdy? Is it going to be Trey Lance? Is it going to be Sam Darnold? 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. We'll do one more what we learned on Friday, Angel. But from now on, the final segment of the program on Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza is going to be the picks. So we're going to get into that. But one more what we learned on a Friday. We'll be right back. It's Football Friday presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, a Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
No more gimmicks. No more jokes. Just the games. Broncos games are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this 18th day of August? Kind of learned more about primetime with Brian Howell, talking about the persona that is primetime. There's a Deion Sanders and there's a primetime. I've never seen a coach have that kind of thing. I've seen animated coaches. Mike Leach was one of those guys that was just out there and awesome and entertaining. But I haven't seen a guy that's like almost a different person when he's in coach mode and when he's in media mode. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned that this is the last weekend without football that counts.
Mm. Next week we got games, man. We got college football games that actually count.
Yeah, Friday football games that actually count.
Yeah, you ready? And you got football night in Northern Colorado coming up next Friday, too.
Yes.
It's your last Friday off for a while.
Yeah. I'm going to figure out what to do with my life after this. I'm excited, though. Excited to hear all the new listeners from 5 to 6:30 every Friday. If you want to hear more of me and my sports talk, we'll be talking to that, preview all the high school, college, and pro games throughout the weekend and the season. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have some fun little listener things for you guys to chime in on, as well as just exploring sports and getting me spreading my wings a little bit.
Spreading your angel wings. How about that? Yeah, next Saturday, Navy and Notre Dame. Are you taking
Dublin.
Navy? You taking Navy to cover?
You're a 20-point underdog right now. And that's a fairly competitive game between those two schools. I may look at Navy right now. If you want to get a real early bet on a 20.5-point spread.
You know you're looking forward to that Hawaii-Vanderbilt game.
Oh, yeah.
Vanderbilt's an 18-point
favorite.
There's
like a UMass game on there. I can't wait for that one.
San Jose State's playing USC, Ohio, San Diego State. Yeah, UMass, New Mexico
There's
State.
A few little games there.
A little teaser. A little appetizer. No, I'm excited for next Friday, though. Our full Football Friday will be in effect. I'll have my Football Friday and then Football Night in Northern Colorado. at 5 o'clock with Angel, leading you into our preps, our high school football game of the week. So we're very much looking forward to that. It's a fan vote, so Tanner should be putting the.
I was going to ask, is that decided yet?
It's going to be a fan vote. We got a week, and we don't know who it is.
Oh, he's got the fantasy football thing to do first.
Hey, we should be putting that out. Note to Tanner Schwint. Which football game are we doing next Friday? Does anybody know? Anybody? Nobody? Bueller? Nobody knows? Okay. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.